Mr. Pump, eat.
The signal you are receiving is coming from deep inside of FEMA Region 1. Well within the battle lines of the municipal corporation known as the Commonwealth of Taxachusetts, radiating out to the darkest corners of Al Gore's internet from our secret broadcast bunker, cleverly disguised as a middle-class living room, this is Red Pill Politics. Well, howdy there, patriots and well-meaning serfs. Welcome to your weekly dose of Red Pill Politics. Sure is mighty fine to be having all you all on board. It is April 28th, the final Sunday of April, which means next week it's going to be May. Hope you got those victory gardens all planned. I hope you started your plants early, been out there hunting down some seed. Heirloom seed, of course, none of the frankenfruit that will contaminate your stock. I highly recommend if you've got some, throw it away. A lot of that stuff's engineered, so if you pull the seeds out of it, if it happens to produce seed, you can grow those seeds. They might actually germinate. Some of them won't. Some of them are terminator seed and just simply won't produce. Others will grow a plant and you'll think you're going to be all well and good, growing great, but it never actually produces anything. It doesn't fruit. So yes, indeed, get rid of all that stuff, stick to heirloom, and take my advice. All right, this is from direct experience. Label everything extremely well. There is nothing worse than opening up and just have an envelope saying, oh, I'll remember what seeds those are. No, you won't. So label everything good. Put these things away. Treat them very delicately. All right. How to preserve these seeds, because you do lose some every year. There's a few, you know, certain percentage of them will become non-viable. So the older they are, the fewer will germinate. But you have got to keep them in the right environment. All right. Do not abuse those. So these could be literally the difference between life and death. All right. But get those gardens going. As I said before, when you are planning to, this is my challenge to all you people out there, because if there's anything that this country needs right now, is father figures standing up, standing in the gap, and providing a solid example for this nation's youth. All right? And my challenge to you is to take a kid fishing the day before you plan on planting all your garden plants and your tomatoes and all that stuff. And here's why. Is there is nothing better for your plants than to throw a fish down in the bottom of the hole before you plant it. My grandfather used to do that with me. I knew it was a garden planting weekend when my grandfather volunteered out of the blue to take me fishing on a Friday. Because I knew Saturday we were probably going to be out in the garden. And I'll tell you, they never seen nothing like it. You want to do a little experiment, get a half dozen tomatoes, you know, three in one section, three in another, and do your own little experiment. Do a little bit of those extra things. I also mentioned taking an unlit match, the sulfur that's in there. All right, once you get through planting it, push that match in there, throw one down the hole and push one in at the top, and that little bit of extra sulfur, you would be surprised. Mixing eggshells and coffee grounds into your garden, great, great stuff. Do a little experiment of your own to convince yourself that it is well worth your time to focus on the health of your soil. Lots of organic matter will provide all those micronutrients that the big fertilizer companies don't always think about, all right? Because it's a lot easier to run out of a a tiniest itty-bitty little amount of a micronutrient, which will completely stunt a plant's growth and progress, versus a complete lack of things like phosphorus. Although they can be of concern as well, it's a macronutrient and doesn't affect it. You know, it's much harder to develop severe scarcity. So think about that. And report in, too. I want to hear from folks as you get going here in the growing season. Don't forget, we always have call-ins here. Love to hear from the audience, all right? 512-248-8252 is the call-in number. If you've already gotten started, call in and share your experiences. How are things going? Like one of the tips I passed on a couple weeks ago, grow lights now are something that's, you know, they're available all over, and you kind of get what you pay for with those. The intensity of the light and the amount of irrigation you can do. Obviously, the more you pay, the better off you are. A lot of people don't have much money, and they'll go into a box store, and, you know, for between $10 and $15, you can get like an 18-inch or a 2-foot light bar, a grow light. And they do work, but here's, again, speaking from experience, having killed a few flats of plants before, is you want to put that light right down on them. You don't need it when they are seed until they pop. Once they pop and put out their first pair of leaves, right? Those leaves are the first solar panels for that plant. At that point, you got to get the light on them. But when you put the light too high above, because the light itself is cheap and not very intense, those plants are going to stretch. And you're going to be all proud of yourself for a short period of time as you could almost watch them grow in height and they get taller and taller. They're going to get a couple inches tall and flop right over because there's no rigidity to it. It was stretching for the light. They were most likely inside of a, you know, some sort of a sheltered, covered flat. So they didn't have the advantage of the wind on them. That's why you see fans in greenhouses, you know. It's not just for temperature regulation. It's also to toughen up the plants because as that wind bends them, it's amazing what the life forms that God gave us and how they can communicate with their environment, and that includes plants. When they're bent like that at a very young age, it sends off chemical cues within the plant that we need more lignin. Lignin is that carbon-based structure that makes a woody tree hard and woody. It's because it's got exponentially more lignin than, you know, say a tomato plant. But they still need some. You know, a stalk of a tomato plant will get more hard and more stiff as it matures. That's because it's increasing lignin because the chemical cues are being sent to it as the wind blows the plant around. And, hey, I might blow over and just die. I need to toughen up. This happens at a very young age when as soon as your seeds pop. So be aware of that. Keep that light bar down nice and close to, an inch off from them, right on them, so they do not have to stretch and have all the light they want. And as soon as you can, get a fan going on them. This will toughen them up because you want to have a good, stout, sturdy plant when you get it in the ground. So they should be on their way already. Okay, because we have up here in the Northeast, we got some, you know, cooler zones up here, and we, you know, our planting season, you know, you guys down in the southern region, and you don't have to worry so much about that stuff. But here in the temperate zone, we got to pay attention, and we're almost there. We're almost there. I know a lot of people are prepping their beds right now. Looks like next weekend people are going to be out and starting to plant. Keep an eye on the weather, though, all right? Anything that's popped up and sensitive, we could still get a frost, so just be careful. But I'd love to hear how things are going with you. I really do hope you're taking advantage with, you know, this summer and the time we have. And if you don't have the space to actually grow large amounts of food, I recommend doing even just an herb garden, but tailoring it to yourself and what your medical needs are. There are things that will absolutely improve your situation. I'm not saying everything's a cure, an instant turnkey cure, but in a very small area and in containers, you can grow some pretty impressive things for yourself, especially in when you're talking about herbs and medicinals. These things, you know, one plant sometimes can produce a year's supply of something. All right, so think about that if you're limited on space. Another thing you can do is get in good, build relationships with those farmers. Well, there's still a few of them there. Oh, man, there's new EPA standards coming out, I hear. And that ought to wipe out a whole bunch more. This is about possible. Now, you talk to your average farmer and you ask him, you know, how do you get by? What are your margins? You know, and I've been doing this for years. And they pretty much say without the subsidies, they wouldn't be in business at all. They wouldn't be in business at all. So, yeah, they're hooked. Now, every regulation that comes down the pike, if farmers push back to, all right, well, you just don't get any subsidies. If you don't incorporate this new federal regulation, no subsidies for you. And yeah, at that point, they're done. They're done. So I'm hoping the farming community out there, large and small, develops a very defiant attitude and just go out and grow food. Just grow food. Do what you do best. Work smart. Obviously, farmers have done things, sometimes knowingly, sometimes not. It does lead to damage, water contamination and things like that. These are real issues. They're often inflamed and embellished, but issues nonetheless, it does happen. So you've got to be responsible, but I can't tell you, there's nothing going to throw a nation into unrest faster than starvation. And it's become painfully clear that all of these talking heads that we listen to, they have been yammering for over a decade, for many decades. Going back into the 70s, they were talking about overpopulation. Overpopulation. And then, almost everything you see on TV is made to degrade the human being, to make us appear to ourselves as being animal-like. What a horrible mess. So these same people that have been yammering about overpopulation are now taking out of reach of us just about everything that we need to survive day to day. I don't care if it's energy, food. They've determined that you are unfit as a parent. Right? And I read to you right out of the 45 Goals of Communism. This is something that's being inculcated right now at all levels, is that, you parents out there, you really are incubators. Your ass wipers, and you may feed them one, possibly two meals a day, and just make sure they're back to camp. That's about it. No sass from you. Don't you dare come up and criticize our programs. We did this because we love you. You voluntarily give your tax dollars to us to create these programs, to love upon you that much more, and your kids, our kids. Yes, indeed. Teachers today will tell you so, too. Don't you tell me, Mrs. Smith, I spend more time with your son or daughter than you do. Huh? Any parents out there hear that? Yeah, I'm sure you have. I see the hands going up. That is exactly what's going on. Pretty damn disgusting. I don't know. Speaking of disgusting, a couple of things on my hit list today for us to talk about. The IRS and AI. I've alluded to this in a couple of past shows recently, but I think we're going to hit it a little harder today. FISA, You Republicans out there, you thought your new House Speaker was going to turn things around. Things are going to be different now. Oh, well, your new Republican House Speaker has got a great deal of support from progressive Democrats. You're doing a wonderful job. Look at all the money that's gone over to Ukraine and Israel, where not a dime has gone to anything here, to the border, to maybe locate those 80-plus thousand children that have disappeared, been trafficked. All right? I mean, if you're going to find an illegal in this country, I'd like it to be those 80,000 children. Just because the adults in their life are miserable failures, they should not suffer because of this. All right? I got a millstone for you. So, FISA, yeah, they're now snooping on everybody for everything they can contract and mandate the cooperation of, well, almost anywhere you go. If you go to McDonald's and they have free Wi-Fi, they can snoop and look at anything that they want. Let's say you got a, you hire a maid, right? And she uses your Wi-Fi network. Well, maybe now they can, it goes both ways, too. The maid can be used as a gateway to monitor the households, or the households used as a gateway to monitor the maids. And you combine together this AI nonsense. Let's do that. Let's mesh the two of these together and talk about this right now. And my third item, by the way, I know I'm probably going to peeve a bunch of you PETA files out there and animal rights folks, but we're going to talk one time about Christy Noem dispatching her farm dog, and then we're going to move on with a clear understanding of property rights, okay? But that's the third item I wanted to touch on this week. So IRS and their AI inclusions and FISA. Let's mash the two of those together because this is all Big Brother wrapped into the, both of these. Now, FISA, in and of itself, on its own, can't believe it keeps getting reauthorized every time it comes up. Nobody talks about it. And then all of a sudden, bang, it's there. We got to reauthorize FISA right now. It's getting late. We can't let this expire. You know, it's like you had months and months and months to talk about this, debate it, and air it out and see what is in there, if there's anything in there that we actually need, but they don't. Keep real quiet until the last minute. And what did they do? Did they go in and remove any of the tyranny? No, they didn't. They amended it and made it worse. Not just a little worse, but much worse. Oh, indeed. They can, as I said, commandeer and mandate the use of almost any communication technology. Any of them. And if you, you really got to take some time to try to get your mind around this and look at, you know, what you do day to day, week to week, and month to month, the business that you conduct, commercial and private, any business of yours, your personal business. Is there any such thing as personal business anymore? I mean, we all got computers and Wi-Fis and cams and all kinds of stuff. We got security systems. We got all kinds of things around us, little, things of convenience. Now, are they considered a tool of communication? Yes. Well, just about every single one of them. So, yeah, I mean, can FISA decide that they want to just tap into your security camera or your webcam? Yeah, sure. especially for people like me. I do a weekly broadcast here. I do other broadcasts. I talk about things that make their buttholes pucker. So do you think maybe they're going to, as I'm looking into my webcam, that they might be looking back at me? I acknowledge it. I know. And you know, there's really not much I can do about it. What I'm not going to do, and what I recommend that you don't do, is cower in fear. It's kind of part of what they want. They want a lot of people all of a sudden to realize that when Big Brother is right there, in there, right in their face. I better just stop and back right down. Well, fine. That means you might go on the B list. Doesn't mean they're not going to aggress towards you at some point in the future. I mean, the control only gets tighter. Again, if you know, please call in and inform me. When was the last time you heard of government doing away with a burdensome regulation? Say, oh, well, you know, we really didn't need to, you know, manage that aspect of your life, so we're going to do away with this. Again, because we love you. I don't remember any time that they've done that. This is all about control, and control only gets tighter. So let's combine this now. They've already, it's come out. We just don't know to what extent, how they're leveraging it, and who's involved. But a couple of things that we do know right now. The Bidenista regime's been out there for going on 4 years now, touting all the jobs that they've created. Right. Most of those jobs were contact tracers. All right. Are those real jobs? All right. Government jobs, the expansion of government, you know, those jobs. Some of them was that 87,000 new IRS agents. All right. And many of us, and this is kind of the way it used to be back in the old days when you had to get by on actual manpower. I knew people that were comptrollers and actually worked for the IRS. And there were triggers. There were sets of flags. You know, if you made well in excess of $200,000, certain types or volumes of transactions, you know, there were certain things that the IRS looked at that would trigger audits. All right. There were, and, you know, there was consultants out there that helped keep businesses from being audited. Not to necessarily even do anything illegal or nefarious, still, you know, paying homage to the king, but just avoiding audits because they're miserable. And we all got used to the fact, oh, that's not us. Us being those regular people that just go and punch a clock, you know, earn a living, and the little guy. You're not a business owner, just a worker. You got a job. Whether it's a good job, bad job, whatever, you're just a worker. And typically, not on the radar of the IRS. Well, these doesn't look like these 87,000 new IRS agents are going to be out there wearing their shoes out, running around auditing big corporations. Right? I mean, this is what was used to, you know, try to justify and keep the IRS and people from rebelling against it. But nonetheless, they now got AI, and they have admitted that they are in everyone's account. They have access to everyone's account. Now, the same way back when IRS agents in the whole agency had an algorithm, sets of flags and triggers that they had to monitor, you know, manually or digitally as technology advanced, and those triggered audits. Right now, all bets are off. All bets are off. I don't care if you're a single mom trying to feed your kids that is cleaning a few houses every week, right? That they are in your account. If you're depositing money, they're going to figure out where it came from. And pretty soon, if they go to the CBDC and we do actually fall for that fraud, there's nothing you're not going to be able to hire the neighbor to come over and mow your lawn. All right, so AI notices that you've done that. All right, you hired a kid to come over and mow your lawn every week. You know, you pay him $20-$30. They know. Could they go in there now and go after that kid and that kid's parents because he's a minor? And of course, if he does something wrong, that's when the government's going to say, "Well, it's the parents. We're going to go after them." All right? Could they go after him and say, "Well, where's your child's work permit? You know, why is this not being properly accounted for, and where is our share?" Will that then trigger an audit of the parents? Okay, will FISA now, are you part of a larger network? All right, so everyone that kid is working with, maybe it's a maid. Maybe it's the guy that comes over and cleans your pool. All right, maybe you got a mechanic that's, you know, a shade tree mechanic that works out of his garage, out of his backyard. And you want to, you know, save yourself some money. He wants some. No. Every dollar is going to be accounted for. And AI, they work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They never stop. They don't take a coffee break. They spider through bank accounts. And every time there's an entry, it is analyzed. Everything. Are you taking out $20, $50, $100? Why? And where will it be spent? All right, what, you know, any business now, they got those cubes, they're called. There's all kinds of apps on your phone for transacting, all monitored. And when is that going to overlap with FISA and what they're interested in? Because all these agencies, all this crap goes into fusion centers. Sure. And if FISA has, I don't know, it looks like they don't even need a reason. They don't need evidence. They just got to, you know, someone's got to say something about something, and they're all of a sudden interested in you. And they can look several levels deep into your contacts. Yeah. And then, and what's left of you after? I'm going to keep talking about this AI stuff. We'll be right back after this message. Red Pill Politics and Listener Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Is it conspiracy? Do shadow hands run democracy? The edges speak of a lie, shrouded in secrets and mysteries. Bloodlines of history, they sit at the top. Counting all the gold they have robbed common men. They put their puppets into place, then pull the strings. Simple whisper, sleight of hand, twisted evil play. Is it too much to believe? Some kind of dark fantasy. Can man's mind be so cruel? Are we all that hard to fool? Bloodlines of history, they sit at the top. Counting all the gold they have robbed common men. They put their puppets into place.
Truth, you can't handle. handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafine, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty, whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen. These courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom, illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these 5 easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your 5 easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our 5 easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Show that is not FDA approved, which can only mean one thing: probably won't kill you, and you just might learn something Welcome to the show. If you're just tuning in, where the hell you been? We started a half hour ago. Let's go, folks. Chop, chop. It is April 28th already. Next week, this time, we're going to be into May. Garden planting season. I hope there's some updates from folks. Love to hear how your progress is going. And we're going to keep talking about that throughout the growing season, too. But we're going to mix into it some of the despotism and tyranny that our current government is foisting on us. Currently, we're talking about a couple of things that I'm meshing together here. Is the IRS has been caught instituting AI and is monitoring every account. They're creating brand new algorithms, and they got 87,000 new IRS agents that COVID gave us, all right, some new jobs. They are now not just going to be focusing on those that are making $200,000 and $400,000 a year or more. Absolutely everyone, and they have said so. All right, they're going after everyone. The little guy, don't think you're going to mow lawns. You know, if you're retired and maybe want to, build some birdhouses to sell at your curbside, or say you're cleaning houses. If you're a single mom, want to make a little bit, not going to happen. Not going to happen between the IRS monitoring your account in FISA. Now, anyone who is in control of a device of mass communication, that's your phone, that's your router, when you go to McDonald's, every place has got Wi-Fi. They're right up in your business, and FISA's there. Unbelievable. All meshing together nicely, and they'll cross-report back and forth. So if you get some suspicious activity of a father who's got a joint account with his 15-year-old son, and you know every week he's putting $50-$75 in there, they're going to find out. They're going to find out that he's mowing lawns. And then they're going to go after the people whose lawns that they're mowing. Yes. How's that, America? Holy cow. Let's get right to the calls. We've got some calls coming in. Mike from Arizona. How are you this morning, Mike?
I am fine, Dave. How's things over there?
Pretty good. I'm up at the camp up here in New Hampshire right now. Getting things ready for planting season myself. It's been a beautiful weekend, and looking forward to a couple more days of hard work.
Okay, good. You know, you're talking about gardening. I'd like to maybe touch a little bit about cultivating people's minds today. Last week you were taking calls and asking about, you know, the ideas that people had and things that they might need to have resistance. And I wasn't able to call last week, but I'd like to maybe add some things today if I could.
Absolutely.
Okay, very good. You know, I'd like to first start off and talk about hope. You know, you have the rule of five. You know, you can go 5 minutes without air, you can go 5 days without water, you can go 5 weeks without food. But just imagine, say for instance, you were on a ship. The ship was sinking and you got into the life raft, you're not going to last 5 seconds without hope. So there is always hope. I was listening to an interview the other day with Michael Yon, and I don't recall who was interviewing him, and the talk show host was basically, his position was that the Jews, you know, their power here in the United States, the media, Congress, etc. And Jan's position was that it's not that he was denying those powers that those people have, but he said Jan's position was that was China was the real threat. And he used the analogy that there's a lot of balls on the court, and if you focus in on one of them, you're going to get hit upside the head with another. And so, just an observation of about...
I agree with that. No, there's very strong opinions by hosts here at RBN and in other places, too, regarding that. And it's no use in denying where there's, you know, predominant Jewish influence. All right? Denying that that exists is foolish. But as you said, you know, I don't view them too much different than any other globalist despot that wants that level of control. And if we only fixate on that, there's other sharks in the water that are willing to eat us alive, too. So
absolutely.
We've got to push back on all of those systems, identify and expose all those systems, because they're all connected. Ultimately, the Jewish influence is connected to many of these other things, and vice versa.
Absolutely. Yep, yep. Well, you know, oftentimes we hear this term, guerrilla warfare, and my position is it would be more properly identified as an insurgency. An insurgent means the insurge, the Latin, means to rise up. If we examine like something like the American Revolution, you had the political subversives. Those were the people that we elected as representatives to go to Philadelphia. You had the guerrillas, the farmers that hid behind the rocks and the trees and sniped at the British. And then you also had the terrorists. And those would be the ones that, like, went into Boston Harbor and threw the tea overboard. And, you know, when we're trying to develop a proper insurgency for resistance to the overstepping of the government bounds, you know, we need to group up, we need to team up, and we need to train up. And it's always good to start with your neighbor. And, you know, if you make friends with your neighbor, then they're less likely to come over to your house and try to take your stuff if you've been helping them along for a while. You know, if they can't make it to the food bank, you can go there and help them out. And you had also mentioned last week, you were asking some of the callers if you had theoretically $200 a month of things that you could spend on to help get prepared. And, you know, I'd like to throw in a couple of ideas. I might be bouncing around here. I'd like to revisit insurgency in the moment. But, you know, yeah, I would highly
actually like to comment on that, too, before I forget my thought here. You know, I'm kind of, how to unpack this. Guerrilla warfare. What I find appealing about this, and it relates to comments and a term that I've used several times here on the show, is it's like leaderless opposition. There's no head to cut off. And what where I find the most hope, I sometimes, like last week was a black pill show, but I do have hope. You know, whatever God wants is going to happen, and I do retain hope here. You know, and with guerrilla warfare, you've got that element of surprise. Humans will do when they are backed into the corner. I don't care how important you think you are, how much money you have, how powerful your computer is. A human being will do that which you just cannot predict. There's no algorithm. They will do something that you just can't factor for out of pure self-preservation. That will to live, doing something that different to avoid whatever negative outcome, but that unpredictable nature of human beings meshes kind of with the concept of guerrilla warfare. I mean, when there's rules, like when you mentioned the Minutemen, the British, you know, if the rules of warfare is you get up there, you stand in a line, this side shoots, and then that side shoots, and you keep doing that till there's one person left. You know, we abandoned that. And they kept up. They would try, okay, we'll stand in a line. Well, good. You stand right in the line. And this allowed us to be outside of the box. We're operating a leaderless opposition. We're not following a hard and fixed plan that our enemy can eventually figure out and counter. So that unpredictable nature of human beings, I think, is going to play some kind of a role in if we are able to right the ship. Is because we either unexpectedly came together, as you said. Now, the element of there's nothing more secure than having your whole neighborhood all on board with all you've got extra medications for those that are on medications. You got some extra food. You meet and talk regularly. You share tools and help each other fix things. That's all good, positive stuff that leads to, you know, an increase in your actual security. So I think we need both. We still need that human unknown element, that spirit of surprise, and we also need to come together. I mean, forget all the political baggage at the door. I don't want to hear Democrat or Republican, nothing. I mean, I come into it saying I want my own liberty. Almost everyone can agree on that, and they, we're not going to get it from government and take it from there. But, I mean, don't you think that there's, you know, guerrilla warfare has got a very negative connotation, but not so much to me. It's leaderless opposition. Isn't that a way of saying that?
Yes, it is. There would be that aspect of it. But eventually, these small groups of people or the individuals are going to develop into something more powerful instead of individually. Yes, I agree. That like might be a subject for another day. We could expound and expand on some of
kind of like
things.
Committees of safety and the committees of correspondence back in the day.
Correct, yeah. And real quick, some of the items that people might need to have or would be definitely good to have of about a protective mask. I don't mean a paper mask for COVID. I mean like a lot of people term as a gas mask, but more properly termed as a protective mask. And some of these things may be rather expensive, but, you know, if we save up our money, we can purchase some of these items. Some boots, some good quality boots, some socks. Medical supplies. I got a fairly extensive list here of about some recommendations. Radios, and the old adage about one is none and two is one. So if you only have one radio, like FRS or GMRS radio, or 2 meter or 440 or something like that, and it runs out of batteries or you drop it and it breaks, you need to have a backup, so don't just go out and buy one radio to do that. I'd also recommend having a scanner. Bearcat makes one, and they have a technology in there where it's got called quick capture, so you're not just using a frequency counter or a scanner that goes through the frequencies. It has two separate circuits, so you're scanning on one set, and then on the other half, if it detects somebody within a radius of where you are, it'll display the frequency that that person's on and start broadcasting what they're saying right then and there. So even if the person's frequency is blocked or you can't access it, you may not know exactly who they are, but you'll know that they're within a certain area of where you are. A very good tool to have. A battery holder, I'm not sure exactly what the proper terminology, you know, a lot of these radios like your Baofangs or your Yaesus or something like that may have a set of rechargeable batteries that you can put in a charger to charge it up. But they also have these, it looks just like the regular battery holder for your rechargeables, but you can put in AA's or AAA's depending on the battery. So while your radio's being, your set of batteries is being recharged, you can get a new set of regular batteries in there. And so obviously you need to have a set of batteries. I'd like also to recommend I have a flashlight with spare light bulbs. A lot of times it's hard to find. Nowadays, it seems to be you have to have a rechargeable with your UPS port and your LED lights, but you can still find, you know, the old-fashioned flashlights with bulbs and that. I'd also recommend having a compass.
Now, too, because we've got some in our bug-out bags, is the small portable solar chargers that are perfect for cell phones, radios, things like that. So having that USB connection in a modern day is nice, is that you can begin recharging even if the power's out. Or daisy chain together. There's people out there, watch some videos. You can go and get a whole bunch of those solar outdoor lights, daisy chain those together and be charging too. But yeah, keeping them powered up is a big thing. Batteries are heavy. Carrying the stuff to recharge is pretty important too. And your point on having multiple radios, I must have 7 or 8 of the same kind of radio, you know, a pair for each myself and my wife. I got a vest for my dog. I can actually put a radio there and talk to my dog when he's running in the woods. I've got a pair that's committed to a portable mobile 2-meter repeater, you know, in a little Pelican case that I can just hoist up with a solar charger. And, you know, some of those, you know, providing you get periodic sunlight and you don't use it continuously every day, that repeater could be up and going for a year or more.
Yep. You got that right. The other thing, some of the things that you may want to consider is getting paper maps. Remember the old maps that we keep in the glove compartment and not relying on technology where you've got a map app on your phone or on your iPad or something like that. And you can get some of these like the Rand McNally or some of these other ones that may cover just for the state of Arizona. But they'll also have, it's kind of overlaid, so it's not just street maps and things like that, but they also have the topography built in. And I'd also recommend having your surrounding states. So here in Arizona, I may have a California map, a New Mexico map, a Utah map, a Colorado map, because you never know where you may be pushed off of where you are. Other thing is to right now, while the internet is...
Go ahead. Sometimes you can get those free if you go to travel centers and big truck stops, things like that. Look on the rack, especially in scenic areas. We collect bags and bags of those maps by state, absolutely. And a lot of it's free. There are cool phone apps out there, but you can't depend on the technology always. But, yeah, absolutely, hard maps are critical. I have got probably 100 maps of this, mostly this area here in the Northeast, but nonetheless very important.
Yes. Well, you know, as an example, because I live out here in southern Arizona and have people that want to come out here and do their thing along the border, and you ask them about a compass or a map app, and it's like they pull out their cell phone. And if you get off of the beaten path and out in the sticks out here where I am, and then you get out here and say, okay, which way's north? And they pull out their phone, and it's got an app on there, and the bezel just sits there and spins because it can't ping because there's no cell phone towers out here. So those having those hard copies like your maps or an actual real compass, they're, you know,
now, you know what,
irreplaceable.
People used to think I was nuts until I thought about it a little bit more. But get those little sewing pins, just regular common pin, and I stick them into the end of my the shoelace, the hard little ring at the end of your shoelace so you can thread it through the holes. I stick it right inside that plastic sheath so I don't get picked by it. But if I ever get in a situation where I'm just by myself, no gear, no nothing, but I want to know which way north is, you take that out because you rub it on a magnet first and magnify it. I mean, you could literally spit in your hand and float that pin on a little fleck of a dry leaf. And as long as it will float on something, the tiniest little puddle, a cup of water, cut a bottle of water off and pee in it, and float that pin on a piece of leaf, it will point you to north. But yeah, I do little stuff like that too. So fill your shoelace eyelets with common pins just in case.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I've heard the deal of about magnetizing the pin. Hard part is to getting it to float, but with a little practice, it does work. But that's a good idea of about putting it into the end of your shoelace. A couple other things is like go to Google Earth and get some aerial photographs. Get yourself a 3-ring binder and some vinyl pages to protect it, and then zoom in and get a good quality photo of your house and maybe the surrounding houses, and then back off a little bit and get the block around your area and then back off a little bit more and get the surrounding areas of that and put those in there, because, you know, when the internet goes down, that you'll at least have those, and they're good up-to-date photos, not just a street map of where you are. You know, a lot of it has to do is to bear in mind that your mind is your primary weapon. And some of the things you touched on last week was about things to have on hand, the hard copies. You can get a Ranger handbook that talks about small unit tactics. You can get a Special Forces medical handbook. Another thing, it helps people understand of a...
You can't panic either. Even people that are prepared and may have all the things that we just discussed, if at that point where things become less than ideal, you're prone to panic, a lot of that goes right out the window. We really do have to try to find some peace and calmness and conduct ourselves accordingly. Even in the worst of conditions, operating when you're panicky is not good. So your frame of mind, that's why your connection to God is pretty darn important, because that will bring you peace and calm you down. Panic is bad.
Yeah, when you start panicking, your mind spools up rather quickly and you're overlooking it. It's the OODA loop. You observe, you orient, you decide and act, and the OODA is a continuous updated process where you're observing what's going on, orienting yourself to where you're at, and make a decision, and then you act on those decisions. One other thing, it may help people to understand these operations that are being performed against it. There's a military publication. It's a joint publication, 3-1-3. It's called Information Operations. It's a primer and it's only about 70, 80 pages long. You can go to your search engine. You can access it. It's J-P-3-1-3, Information Operations. It's generally built for military operating in other countries on how to influence the population. But once you're familiar with what's going on in the military doing it in the other countries, it's a real short step to realize what is happening here in the United States with the media and trying to manipulate the people.
Yeah, those Boy Scout and stuff are very good, some of them. I do recommend it on a rainy day, people snoop around. In particular, the FEMA manual on wood gas fires.
Yep. There's quite a bit. A Boy Scout handbook or the Boy Scout field book, you can still find those. They're very useful. And, you know, another thing about whether we call it guerrilla warfare, low-intensity conflict, unconventional warfare, some other ones, the Art of Insurgency by Donald Hamilton, FM 31-20-3, the Foreign Internal Defense Tactics, Techniques, and Procedures for Special Forces, About Face by Colonel David Hackworth, The Summaries of Principles of the Art of War by Anton Henry Jomini, Limited War by Robert Osgood, The War of the Flea, A Study of Guerrilla Warfare Theory and Practice by Robert Tabor, Seven Pillars of Wisdom and Revolt in the Desert by T.E. Lawrence.
All right, hold on. I'm going to hold you over. We got bumper music coming in. Sounds like you got a good list there. So stay with us for the second segment here. The rest of you, hit the share button. It's Red Pill Politics. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be right back after these messages at the top of the hour. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.